Hello, ladies, gentlemen, and non-binary friends. Welcome to Multicultural TV Talk, a Media Village podcast where we bring you interviews with talent and creatives from across entertainment, discovering their stories and how they are changing the face of stardom across media. As always, I am your host, Juan Ayala. Thank you so much for joining us. And in honor of Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month, we are joined by a delightful group of actors for a special roundtable discussion. Joining us today, actress, model, and advocate Julia Lee. From the Paramount Plus series, School Spirits, Christian Flores. And from Netflix's Sweet Tooth, Aliza Villani. Julia, Christian, Aliza, thank you so much for being here. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So let's start by going down memory lane. So this is one of my favorite questions to ask on these panels. Looking back, what performance do you feel made like the biggest impact on you growing up and made you feel represented for the first time? And Julia, let's start with you.
What performance made me? Probably booking the Citizen Watch campaign. So I also do modeling, and I got booked as like the face of the Arezzo watch. And it was really incredible because that campaign ended up being in Times Square. It ended up being like in Macy's stores and every, you know, department store that you went to go see buy a Citizen Watch. So that was really cool. And once it came out, people would start messaging me that they saw it and that they were really proud of me and that it was really cool to see an Asian face that was like the face of this campaign and the face of this brand. So that was definitely a moment for me.
And Christian, what about you?
I'm split in two different directions. Just as an actor, the movie that sort of changed my life was Cloud Atlas with Tom Hanks, Halle Berry, and that whole gang, just because it was the first time I realized that for some reason I didn't know this before, but like movies actually mean something. I thought there was you go to the movie theater to be entertained and it's just all escapism, but then I was like 11 or 12 and I got, oh my god, you can actually communicate messages with people. Yeah. So it was Cloud Atlas, but in terms of feeling represented, it was probably more recently in the last year when Joe Coy made that movie Easter Sunday, because I live right by the Fox Theater, and I walk out of my apartment and I see just the huge billboard of a movie about Filipino people, and I went, that's not real, that's, and I'm touching it, I'm feeling it, I'm like, oh my god, yeah, it is real. But that was just this past year. Yeah, Easter Sunday.
That is a very difficult question. I grew up watching Bollywood, so in my head that was seeing myself, even though, you know, I wasn't originally from India. That was my world for so long. And it wasn't until I actually booked Little Mosque on the Prairie, which in itself for Canadian history was a huge show because it was written by a brown woman of color, that I started to see how important representation was in my own home. In my own country. So that for me was the moment that I realized how important it was that we had so many people from different backgrounds, from different experiences, and getting to watch those actors at such a young age, because I was 14, I got to see their performances and how much they valued the show and what it meant for Canadians and even just North Americans in general at the time to see themselves represented in that way in diversity and seeing themselves in a form that hadn't been fully fleshed out at the time.
Yeah, similarly, you know, growing up in a Hispanic household, you know, I grew up watching like Univision and Telemundo and all the Spanish networks. So it's like I always saw faces like mine, but then I switched to Disney Channel and I'm like, where are the Hispanic kids? You know, like it was always like you had the, it felt very separated. Which, you know, was so great. Like, you know, you can access those networks and those movies in the US. You know, it didn't feel like this far-flung thing, but at the same time, sort of hoping like, okay, well, maybe there'll be a Latin family on the show one day, or they'll get their own show. You know, it's always sort of that fine line. And, you know, despite recent strides in the industry, there's always room for improvement. You know, while, you know, representation on screen for you know, for actors and for leading roles has increased, it's not necessarily the same case when it comes to the producers, the writers, the directors behind the camera. So in each of your eyes, what do you feel needs to change in order for that needle to continue moving in the right direction? Christian, we'll start with you.
I definitely have an answer for this, and it blew my mind when I was first introduced to this idea. But I was in this show called Reboot, and it's a comedy, and I have a really small role. I just play a PA because it's about a movie set. It's about Hollywood, right? So I just play one of the PAs with like three or four lines. And then about a month ago, an Asian journalist wrote an article about my character, and it blew my mind. He said that in order for Asian people to be considered and treated as people, we have to do the necessary thing of improving Asian mediocrity. And I read that, I'm like, wait, what? Asian mediocrity? And he was pretty much vouching for Asian roles, not necessarily to be in the spotlight, to be the lead, or but characters who are just allowed to exist, and throwaway characters like my PA, because is he an Asian PA, or is he just a PA who happens to be Asian? You know what I mean? And so I was reading that, and I thought that is such a paradoxical thing of wanting to improve representation by diluting it. But I think that's the new way, or the next step, not new way, but like sort of the next step. And that entertains me a little bit. Does that make sense as an idea, what he's saying about these side characters and supporting roles, which we hadn't wanted for a while, but now we can like more gracefully, put it in the picture, and have it be whole. You know what I mean? So yeah, Asian mediocrity, I think, is the next step.
You get that trending. It's so interesting, because so many of stories of the Hispanic community, the API community, they are oftentimes focused on immigration, culture shock, multi-generational households or multicultural households. But it's like, can we just have, like you said, just have roles where people are just allowed to exist? Like, can we have a doctor who happens to be Asian instead of the Asian doctor, and then they go home and deal with every, all these issues that we've seen talked about so many times, and they're important, but it's like they've had their time in the spotlight. It's time to broaden, zoom out a little bit. And, there is so much universality in those specific stories because we can all relate to it, whether it's a Korean family, a Colombian family could relate to the same thing, an Indian family, a Jamaican family, they all can relate to these same things. But then you want it to be just a bit broader, for a broader audience, because a lot of times people see a specific story and they think like, oh, well, I'm not going to get that because it's not me. But it's like, well, give it a chance. And Eliza, what about you?
Yeah, it just even bouncing off what Christian said, because I think that's so true. And I've been feeling the same thing recently. And it kind of bounces from my experience with Sweet Tooth, is that can we play characters where their marginalized experience can be part of the context, but not part of the plot? And I think that that was something that was so oddly revolutionary with the character that I was playing in Rani Singh, is that she is someone who is Indian, who is Hindu, but it doesn't need to be part of a huge amount of dialogue. Really, it's you see little bits and pieces of the context in the scenery, in how she makes her choices, and we don't need to explain it to the audience. I think right now we're in a space where representation involves educating our audience on these new groups that haven't been given representation for so long. But really, the next step is providing an organic sense of play with characters without having to explain who they are, and simply have them be, and their experiences just inform their decisions without having to explain it in the story itself.
I feel like with acting, I've been asked a lot, like, do you know how to do martial arts, or do you speak Mandarin? And it kind of puts you in a typecast. And the needle has been moved, but it could be moved a little bit more. With movies like Shang-Chi, Crazy Rich Asians, they kind of take the idea of an Asian to like the extreme. But why can't Asians just exist, as people and have their own backstory? And I just watched Beef. I don't know if you guys watched that show. And I thought it was really well done, because each character in that show had a backstory. They had like their own life that was brought to, and it wasn't like they were doing martial arts or, you know, like, or like crazy rich, you know. It was like they were just living in LA and people and just having this interaction. And if you had put, you know, a Hispanic person in those roles or white people in those roles, I think it would have turned out, you know, just the same too. It's not like because they're Asian that it made that series. So I think it's more moving the needle more towards like, hey, just, I want to be a normal person. I don't want to be doing martial arts all over the room. You know, I just want to have, live and have feelings and just exist.
And thankfully with, you know, the, in some cases with the writers and the directors and producers, them being part of the story and part of the community, even those stories have a little bit more nuance. You know, if it happens to be a story of, you know, like a movie like Shang-Chi, it thankfully doesn't feel just like a martial arts movie. It's like, oh, these characters have nuance and, you know, they're complex. And I feel like just 10 years ago, if the movie was made 10, 20 years ago, it would have felt very, very different because you weren't getting that level of authenticity and a perspective, you know?
Yeah. And a lot of times those movies that were made 10 years ago didn't even feature like actors in real life. It might've been a voice of an Asian American actor or a, you know, not a cartoon, but like digital, you know, it wasn't really showing the face of the actor.
Yeah.
I think as well, we see that conversation plays such a huge role in the actual production component or pre-production component. When we provide the space for actors, writers, directors, producers to all openly have a conversation about representation and how to change the story or evolve the story to feel a little bit more organic in showing representation, I think that's going to be a huge amount of weight that we need to put on the storytelling process in order to get to that step. I think just simply by saying, okay, the writers need to write it this way, or the director needs to do it this way, or casting needs to do it that way, it puts so much responsibility on the department themselves to take that burden, as opposed to creating a collaborative space where we can find ways to tell stories differently. And that's where representation becomes so important, because if you do have inclusivity in all departments, all of a sudden you have the opportunity to learn more about the human experience and allow that to inform the characters you put forward in their stories. So I think that might be something that we should be advocating for in representation, not just in front of the camera, but behind the camera.
You know, Christian touched on this before about, you know, with the film like Easter Sunday having such an impact on him recently. So I'm curious, Julia and Eliza, what is there a more recent project that you saw that was maybe a bit surprising about how much it hit home because of representation?
I have one. You go ahead first.
I mean, like I just had mentioned, I had just binge watched Beef, and that really kind of hit home. You know, the younger brother and Danny kind of just wanting to be the same with the younger brother and kind of feeling that way, like within my family, that whole dynamic. And just like living in LA and just, you know, the nuances and things that you deal with and just kind of finding humor in things, but also like going deep. And there were so many layers to that show, and it just kind of made me, it made me feel kind of like, okay, like I'm part of this like conversation, a part of this, like what's going on here and what people are talking about, because, you know, a lot of people have been talking about the show. And
so for me it would be Turning Red. That one surprised me a lot because I knew that there was a huge amount of representation there, but I did not expect to feel so connected to even Maya Turei Ramakrishnan's character as an Indian girl growing up in Canada, because that was my experience. And I loved the differences in all the young girls and that group before. And so for me, watching that story, and even from a Canadian experience, that just created a whole world for me of feeling seen as a young girl growing up in Canada, and what that was and what that really looked like. I mean, seeing those group of four girls, you really start to see not just a dynamic shift, but understanding the child of immigrant experience. That was something that it wasn't, it was about finding relatability, finding the common ground. And I think that's something that we haven't really shown all the way through when it comes to being a child of immigrants. So that was something that felt really special to feel that sense of love and fun. And it was very funny. So I really enjoyed it.
And I'm curious with, you know, with so many new stories coming to the forefront, different perspectives and people who were previously either underrepresented or misrepresented now having the chance to tell their own stories. What types of stories are you hoping to see more of in the future? You know, Christian, we'll start with you.
Oh man, can we not start with me? for us to participate in or for us to see?
Either or. Is there a sort of dream project that you'd love to collaborate on, or is there just sort of generally a type of story you really want to see told?
For now, this might be a phase because I was just so attracted to it in Easter Sunday, but all like the details of Filipino culture was pretty heartwarming. But I think that as people start to know, like, what does it mean to grow up as a Filipino child? Like, what is Filipino? Like, there's the Philippines, but like, how do they talk and how do they dress and like, what do they think about things? I'm interested in and in just like this wave that I feel we're about to hit of understanding. And then again, once that wave kind of settles and we have, we sense of what, you know, the culture is, then we could again go back to the original idea of just existing. But I kind of want to like dance with that a little bit of unraveling the details of being Filipino. I just think it's hilarious. Like, it's just so funny. And I'd want to do something a little bit like that.
I love Joel Coy's comedy in particular because, like we said, it's so specific, but it's so universal at the same time. Like, you know, he jokes about how close in proximity Filipinos are to Hispanics. And everything he says, I'm like, yeah, my abuela did that and his Lola did that. It's, you know, it's the same, thing. But I loved that movie. And I'm really, really happy that they were able to tell that story because, you know, so many people could relate to it, whether they're Filipino or not. And that's beautiful when you can, you know, you just realize how much you have in common with people you maybe never even thought of.
I'm really inspired by Mindy Kaling and what she does with Never Have I Ever. I really love that because, you know, if I watched this as in my teenage years, I'd be like, wow, like there's someone that like I like looks like me, I can relate to a little bit more than what I grew up watching. So I think it's really important to show the movies for like the youth that kind of make them feel like they're included. I think that's really important. Chang Can Dunk, that's a movie with Disney, and I want to see more of that, or at least be part of it. You know, if that means being in the backside of things, at least being part of it would really mean a lot to me.
I have two different things that I would like to see. I'm a huge sci-fi fan, so I just want to see more Indians in sci-fi. I think that hasn't been enough. There haven't been enough, so maybe I'll be one of them. Because for me, that's just, in the world of sci-fi, it's really out of this world. So there's just so many opportunities to explore different people. But for South Asian specifically, something that I actually hope we get out of, because I think we've developed a habit in this, is telling stories where the main character has very conservative parents, and that's the only story that's there, or that's the only big challenge that they face. I think that while that still exists in the world, I think there are so many characters, and especially women, that actually have very positive relationships with their family. I know many of the actors that play these conservative parents aren't that way themselves. And so I think it's an opportunity to really show a new generation of older actors that aren't necessarily the overbearing, I need to protect my children from dating X, Y, and Z, and that's the only form of love story that we see for Indians. I think it's something that I hope that for South Asian storytelling in America, we can start to show a relationship where the problem or the the love story itself isn't revolved around unrequited love, but maybe a problem in itself that can allow for growth as an individual and showing parents that are supportive, because they do exist in the South Asian community. We have so many incredible supportive parents, myself included. So I hope we get to see more of that. I think that that's something that hasn't been done enough.
And before we wrap up, I always love asking or finishing off with this question. If you could, you know, have this Back to the Future moment and you ran into your 13-year-old self, and we're going to take time paradoxes and all of that out of the equation. It won't affect anything, but maybe it's just something you can say to them that will, you know, just like stay in their heart and stay in their mind. But what advice would you give that 13-year-old you?
I would say, like, follow your heart and know that it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to put in a lot of work, and there's going to be a lot of obstacles and, you know, temptation or, you know, luring, but don't ever compromise, and that you can get to where you want to be. You have to really work hard and stay focused and enjoy the ride, enjoy the moment. It's not all about the end destination.
Christian, what about you?
You said 13, right?
Yeah.
That's such an interesting age that you picked. Because 18 advice is so, but 13.
Yeah, I think it's a very formative time.
Yeah. You know what? At 13, I think that I had a bit of, I was like blabbing all the time, and I just wanted to share all the information I knew just with strangers, and like trying to, like, I think it was ego, really, being a smart aleck with my friends and just talking so much. And I kind of think that if you're 13, it's best to sort of play the fool, and because you meet so many people in your teenage years, that I just would tell my 13-year-old self to shut your freaking mouth and, like, listen to other people, because you don't know. Like, you already know what you know, so just keep it chill and just accept what other people have to say, because they don't work at the same time, right? So I would want to go from 13 to maybe 19, mute, really.
And Eliza, what about you? What would you tell your 13-year-old self?
Ah, that is a hard one. For me, it really would be prepared to be surprised. Be prepared for the world to surprise you. I definitely was that kind of girl that just thought, you know, a little bit of a doomsayer of, like, what's the point? Like, it's all going to be hard anyway. And I think slowly in life, I still kind of feel that way. I'm like, everything's so hard. But I think now I'm learning more and more that life knows what it's doing, and it's going to put you in places that you need to be in order to learn the things that you need to learn. And life likes to surprise you in beautiful ways if you're open to it. So yeah, be ready to be surprised, and don't be so scared about that.
I mean, that's great advice for, you know, any young actor. Just, you know, buckle up and be prepared to for this industry to surprise you plenty. But yeah, exactly. Eliza, Julia, Christian, thank you all so much for taking the time to chat with us today. Alrighty, folks, thank you so much for tuning in and for watching. And you can head over to MediaVillage.com for all of our reviews, interviews, podcasts, and more. And follow us at MediaVillage.com on Instagram. I'm Juan Ayala. This is Multicultural TV Talk. Thanks for joining us.